Good morning, everybody. Kids, y'all can head back to A Kids. Have a good time. Thanks for singing. That was beautiful. Go ahead and pull out your Bibles and something you can take notes with this morning. Was anybody here last week for Carl Gully being with us? So fun. That was a gift. Love having that. Let's see here. Awesome. Okay, go ahead and open to Genesis chapter 1. And also, if you want to be an extra credit student, you can also have your Bible open to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Genesis 1 and 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I was working on my message for this morning on Friday, and I was in the kitchen, and Smith looks at Heather, and he's like, "Mom, why don't you write this sermon since you're a mom?" And Heather was sitting there on the stairs, on the floor, brushing Esme's hair while playing with Barbies and waiting for everybody to arrive for Rose's birthday party that Heather had spent all day preparing for. And she said, "You know, Smith, I thought about it, but then I just decided I don't have energy for that right now." So for those who might be looking for Heather to be up here this morning, she is way too busy being an incredible mom right now to work on a sermon to get up here. So you're the best, and I love you. On Mother's Day, I think it's appropriate to share a message with you titled this morning, "We Love Moms." We love moms. Anybody love moms? My mom is awesome. My wife is an awesome mom, and my mom is awesome. Some years, as you just realized, I get to share my birthday with Mother's Day or vice versa. I don't know which way that goes, but that's fun. And my mom likes that, don't you, Mom? She loves it. She doesn't like it. And my mom loves me, so I don't really care what y'all think about me. I was a small kid growing up, and I got made fun of a lot for being short. And I'd be on the baseball field, and maybe my teammates or somebody would say something about that, and my mom would jump on the fence, on the side of the fence, and she'd start shouting, "You're the biggest man out there, Andrew!" So I know my mom loves me. And I mean, you know how people talk about mama bears and not messing with their cubs? Mama bears talk about Linda and not messing with her kids. You're the best. Love you, Mom. And my wife and my mom match like perfectly today. So that's fun. So fun. What a great day today is. Go ahead and stand for the reading of the Word of God. We're going to read a few verses in Genesis chapter 1, a few in chapter 2, and one verse in chapter 3. So I'm making Mark Frazee proud. We're neighbors, and pretty much whenever we run into each other in the neighborhood, he's just like, "You preaching on Genesis 1 through 3 this week?" Feels like that's always a good bet. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28 is where we're going to start. "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" It was just a mistake, guys. It's my birthday. Come on. Verse 27. Oh. Oh, my gosh. You good, Nick? Okay, all right. Verse 27. "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on earth.'" Genesis chapter 2, starting verse 18. "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him.' Now out of the ground, the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all the living. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we love you. We're thankful for you this morning. Thank you for such a beautiful day. Thank you for this opportunity to be back here in this room at this time on another Sunday to worship you and to be together, to open your word, gather in your holy name. Thank you that you're with us. We pray that you would open up our hearts to hear your word and receive it. We make ourselves available to you today, Lord Jesus. Bring us more into surrender under you and teach us to follow you. Build us up in your kingdom this morning and bind us together in the unity of the Spirit. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. 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 Go ahead and take a seat. Anybody love your mom?
Yeah.
We just read about creation, God creating man, and God creating woman. Anybody give glory to God that he made women? Oh. Anybody thankful for women? I mean, can you just imagine? I think men are amazing, but can you imagine a world with just men? Oh. Oof. No, thank you. Women, y'all are incredible. By a show of hands, raise your hand if your life came from a woman. It's pretty amazing. Raise your hand if your life is better because of women. Get your hands up. No, that's one thing you don't have to convince anybody of. That's like, you know, I think there's one question everybody on earth can just agree on. Like, yeah, totally. My life's way better because of women. Raise your hand if you would not be the same if you had not been mothered by good women in your life. Oh. Raise your hand if you wouldn't be here this morning if there wasn't some woman who prayed for you a lot. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for moms. Praise the Lord for women. Over the years, I have spent time on Mother's Day, Sundays, preaching about God's design and his value for women. Last year, we spent the whole beginning part of our year in a series called Build the Home, where we spent even more time on discussing how awesome God made women and how much we love women. And we talked about God's design for family, men, women, marriage, sex, parenting, singleness, God's design. That's what we were talking a lot about. So we have spent a lot of time talking about all the things we love about God and we love about his design. Specifically, we've spent a lot of time, rightfully so, talking about how much we love women and how glad we are that God gave us mothers. As we have said up here before, to recap some of that conversation that we've had over the years, we believe that being a woman is like a real thing. We believe women are real. That if you are a female, you are a woman. And the fact that you are a woman means something real and core and unchangeable about who you are and what you are created for. It ain't nothing that you are a woman. It means that no matter your personality or your preference, as a God-designed woman, you have a unique ability and a unique assignment in humanity to image God by nurturing the life of God for the glory of God. As a woman, you are the manifest help of God to all of creation. That's why all of our lives are better because you're here. That's why all of us have life that came from you. That's why we love you so much. As part of your identity as a woman, you don't just become a mother if and when you have a child. Being a mother is part of who you are at a deeper than DNA level. You are a woman. You are a daughter of Eve, and you also are a mother of all the living. You have this Holy Spirit superpower to nurture life. It's part of your identity that is baked into who you are, and you make every one of us better because of it. It is wild to me that it has become taboo and bigoted to say all that. To say that women undeniably and unchangingly exist. If you read with me Genesis 1, 2, and 3, and believe that God created humans, male and female, and then you look around and you're like, yeah, I mean, that kind of checks out. You are a thick-headed, uneducated, religious extremist that hates people. At least we're in it together. I mean, that is actual insanity. But, you know, come what may, here at Antioch, we're Christians. At least Heather and I are. I guess I don't know about the rest of you guys. And that means we love God. And we love people. It means that because we love God, we love God's design. And because we love people, we love God's design for people. We think he's right. That means that we believe women are real, and it means we love them. We love them. We believe moms are real, and we love them. We believe in Mother's Day is what I'm trying to say. G.K. Chesterton, one of my favorite writers, has this quote. He said, "To love a thing without wishing to fight for it is not love at all. It is lust." To love a thing without wishing to fight for it. I love that. It's not just be willing to fight for it. But to love a thing without wishing to fight for it is not love at all. It is lust. So when I say that we love women and we love moms, I mean that we wish to celebrate them and we wish to fight for them. We value women enough to both celebrate them and protect them. We love God, therefore we love women. Therefore, we do not love ideas that do not love women. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says this in verse 1. I, Paul, myself entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. If you were to read everything Paul wrote, you wouldn't always think it was meek and gentle. But that doesn't mean it wasn't, just because it didn't feel that way at the time. He says, I, Paul, myself entreat you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, I who am humble when face to face with you, but bold toward you when I am away. He's like, I don't want to be harsh all the time. I beg of you that when I am present, I may not have to show boldness with such confidence as I count on showing against some who suspect us of walking according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God in all meekness and in gentleness of Christ, right? But we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. We are swimming in arguments and lofty opinions raised against the knowledge of God. These arguments and opinions aim to take us captive. But we must tear down those strongholds in our minds, and we must make our thoughts obedient to Christ. Now, we do not wage war in this life according to the flesh, though we do live in the flesh. For our weapons of warfare are not of flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. Our weapon is truth. And truth is not an opinion or a lofty idea. Truth is a person, and his name is Jesus. Jesus is the truth. And when we know the truth, we are set free. Free from the strongholds that bind us. Mother's Day is a good day. Amen? Amen. And so is my birthday, by the way. Mother's Day is a good day, and it is a good day to celebrate mothers and to celebrate women by taking a stand for them against the ideas and the opinions that hate them. Because we love God and we love moms and we love women, we hate what would stand against them. Duh. Historian Christopher Dawson made a point that culture is downstream from cult. Culture is downstream from cult. A culture is created out of what it believes. Our society's God is the self. And its sacred acts of worship are self-actualization, self-exaltation, self-expression, self-definition. We love God and we love his design. Therefore, we hate those ideas. We hate those ideas. You are not simply who you say you are. You are who God says you are. No woman, no man, no scientist, no biologist, no philosopher, no influencer, no politician defines what a woman is or what it means to be a woman. God does. A woman is a female human. And as I said, to be a woman means foundationally that as part of humanity, you image God by nurturing the life of God for the glory of God. Nobody can show the world God like you when you do that. We love God. And we love moms and we love women. Therefore, we hate perverse sexuality. We love people and we love their dignity as individuals. We love humanity, and we love its assignment. We love our assignment to image God to creation. We love marriage as a sacred gift of relationship that images Christ and the church. We love sex and the beauty and the power and the pleasure that God gives us in it according to his design. Therefore, we hate pornography. We hate adultery. We hate sexual immorality. We hate sex work and the sex industry and sex slavery. We love women. Therefore, we hate the commoditization of women and their souls and their bodies. We hate the exploitation of women. We hate the degradation of women. And we hate the degradation of men, children, and society that comes with the degradation of women. Somebody's screaming somewhere. I'm sure it's fine. We love women. We love moms. We love women. Therefore, we hate transgenderism. We do not hate transgender people. We hate transgenderism. Because we love God, we hate the idea that people who did not create themselves ought to define themselves. We hate the idea that being male or being female is just an idea. It's just a feeling. We love women, so we hate the idea that men could be women. And we hate the idea that women could be men. We love moms. We love moms. So we hate the idea that men can be moms. Or that a child doesn't need a mom. We hate the encouragement of and the facilitation of gender fluidity and sex changes for kids. We hate that. We hate the idea of parents letting their kids define their own gender. We hate when schools incubate gender dysphoria and keep it secret from parents. We love women. We love women, so we hate when men are allowed in female sports and spaces. We hate the idea of government not only allowing these things, but forcing its citizens to affirm and participate in these things. Because we love God and we love people. We love moms. Does anybody love moms? We love moms and we love women. So we hate modern feminism. Modern feminism has become the women's ministry of the cult of self. And it promises salvation for women by despising femininity. What exactly do I mean by modern feminism? With loaded words, it's helpful to get some things clear here. What I'm saying is that modern feminism teaches women and moms, it teaches you that your gender is meaningless. It teaches you that your femininity is a burden. Your womb is a weakness. Your nurturing is insignificant. Your chastity is bondage. Your submission is subjugation. Your service is acquiescence. Your home is a prison. Your husband is a tyrant, and your children are a hindrance. We hate all that. When God was creating his imagers in humanity, he didn't make another man. Man didn't need another man. Creation didn't need another man. The heavens and the earth needed a woman. We love that women are not men. Looking at it from one angle, that might be the best all-encompassing thing to express all that we love about women. It's like my favorite thing. It's like, you're not men. That is amazing. And then kind of in that same angle, it's like, that's like God's most favorite thing. You know, it's like, don't need another man. We need a woman. We love that women are not men, so we hate the idea that women should be more manly in order to be valuable, appreciated, celebrated, or liberated. Femininity is a linchpin of human life. Once it is uprooted, the consequences are disastrous. Femininity is not something to be eradicated or overcome. It is to be empowered and protected. We love moms. We love moms. We love moms, so we hate fatherlessness. We hate that. We hate when fathers make mothers have to be fathers. And in so doing, rob children from what they are owed, and we demand mothers be something they are not. That's not fair. We don't like that. A father owes his child a father. A father owes his child a mother. We love moms. We love moms. We love moms, therefore we hate abortion. We don't hate people who have participated in abortion. We hate abortion. We hate empowering men to have sex without commitment. Hate that. We hate the idea that it is feminine to participate in unmarried sex and that it's liberating to terminate an unwanted pregnancy. We hate that women encourage other women to kill their children. We hate when men encourage women to kill their children. We hate when fathers hate themselves and hate the mother of their children and hate their children so much that they build a society where doctors help mothers kill children. I hate that. We hate that men don't have self-control and therefore leave women scared. We hate that men don't take responsibility and leave women all alone. We hate that men don't have conviction and they lead women astray. We love that no matter what the situation was, there is forgiveness and there is healing and there is hope in the grace of God. Therefore, we hate that men and women are walking around with shame and regret and sadness, and they don't know what to do with any of it because they're just told it wasn't even a big deal. I hate that. We must have the courage to accept the weight that comes with accepting the truth. And then we must together lean on the grace of God where we all have fallen short. We must then have compassion on one another as we all desperately need mercy at the throne of grace. Yeah. We hate that people have no road to freedom from the bondage that they feel on the inside because they're constantly being affirmed in the lie that nothing even happened. Oh. We love moms. We love moms. We love that heaven touches earth when moms hug, laugh, cry, teach, fix, serve, feed, celebrate, correct, smile, kiss, empower, encourage, rebuke, discipline, and care. Amen. Right? Yes. To say it another way, you have experienced heaven touching earth when a mom, your natural mother, or a woman who is carrying the assignment to be the mother of all the living, gave you a hug, laughed with you, or laughed at you, cried with you or for you, taught you, fixed you. Anybody been fixed by a good woman? served you, fed you, celebrated you, corrected you, smiled at you, smiled with you, smiled for you, kissed you, empowered you, encouraged you, rebuked you, disciplined you, cared for you, or just helped you. That was God. That was heaven touching your world. And we love all that. We love that. Like, we love it so much. Therefore, we hate the idea that being a mom is not a high calling. We hate the lie that a person's role in an organization is more fulfilling than faithfully executing a person's role in the home. We hate the idea that being a mom is an obstacle to the really important things in life, like traveling and a career. We love women. So we hate the things that degrade them. We love moms. Therefore, we can't help but hate the things that minimize them. We love women, and we love moms. We love to celebrate them. We love to love them. We love to need them. We love to have them in our lives. And we love to fight for them. And we love to stand up for them. We love God, so we love people. We love people. We love men, women, children. We love the family. We love the church. We love the kingdom. And we love the world. We love God, and we love his design for everything. And we will stand and fight against arguments and opinions that raise themselves up against him and up against his design. You are not the confused one in this world. You are not the crazy one. You are not the mean one. You are not the unloving one. You are created. Every one of you. You are loved. And I pray that you are saved and you are born again. And I pray that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you are, you are that, to be an ambassador who preaches the good news of the kingdom of God. That there is a God. That he is the king. And his kingdom is forever. Things are the way he says they are. And that is good news for all of us. He is king. He is right. And he is just. God created everything, and God created you. For all of us here this morning, I want you to know you exist. You're real. You are made by God. He knows you because he made you. He knows you better than you know you. Because he made you and you didn't. He has plans for you because he made you. He knows what is best for you because he designed you. And there is an enemy, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy you and the world that you live in. Don't listen to the enemy. Listen to your Father in heaven. Sin does not bring freedom, fulfillment, joy, satisfaction, or liberation. I know it promises you all of those things. Does anybody admit with me you've listened before and found out that wasn't true? It's never going to be true. Sin always brings death, but the gift of God is eternal life. All of this that we've talked about is only some of the good news of the kingdom. Some, just a little sliver of the good news of the kingdom of God. That's real, that exists. and that our Lord Jesus promises us is at hand. It's just a good little sliver of what you're invited into by dying to yourself and not trusting in the world, of turning away from the enemy who tries to steal, kill, and destroy you, and following the voice of the Good Shepherd who invites you into his fold, not just into heaven someday, but into his adoption on this day, into being filled by his Holy Spirit on this day, into participating with him in his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. That's what you're here for. You are here to proclaim this good news of the kingdom of God. We love God. We love God because he first loved us. And we will stand with God because he stood for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I want you to stand as we wrap up our time this morning. We always have a few minutes, not always, oftentimes, a few minutes at the end to worship the Lord. And our prayer team is going to come up and be available for you if you need prayer for anything in your life. The whole point of these few minutes is to take a moment before we head back out into our busy lives and to kind of end where we started our time at the beginning. We have Selah at the beginning to be quiet and let the world become quiet as we focus ourselves on Jesus. And in these last few minutes, I encourage you to, again, end where we started. Consecrate yourself to the Lord. Open up your heart to be good soil to receive the seed of the kingdom. Be a child of God, where God can plant his kingdom inside of you, that you receive it and allow him to come and garden your heart, garden your life each and every day, each and every moment, such that the kingdom that he plants in you would grow and produce a harvest, you know, 30, 60, 100-fold more than what you could ever ask or imagine. If you need prayer, come on up as we worship. If you need to respond to God in any sort of way, whether it has to do with this message or not, let's just be a people who give thanks to God, confess our love to him, and commit to our love for one another. And in so doing, manifest the glorious, wonderful, beautiful, eternal kingdom of God to one another and to the world around us. Jesus, we love you so much, and we thank you. We thank you the most for your love for us. Thank you that you have seen us, you have made us, that you hold us, you designed us, you lead us, you care for us. Thank you that you speak to us. Come and baptize us in the Holy Spirit as we gather here in your name and wrap up this short time together. I pray that every one of us would have a revelation by your glorious grace of how much you love us, and that it would turn and fan into flame a love for you and a love for others. We pray that you would make us ambassadors, preachers of this good news, that God is alive and we can live in his kingdom today. We pray that you would strengthen us to love one another and build each other up in the goodness of God. It's in your holy name. Everybody said, amen. Let's worship together.